This is the Average Guy Network, and you have found Gadget Geek show number 357, recorded on May 31st, 2018. Here at Home Gadget Geeks, we cover all the favorite tech gadgets that find their way to home, news, reviews, product updates, and conversation, all for the average tech guy. I'm your host, Jim Collison, broadcasting live from the Average Guy.tv studios here in a very, very warm Bellevue, Nebraska. And of course, we post the show notes, world-class show notes. This week, maybe sketchy because I'm doing them, out at the Average Guy.tv. You can also join us live on our mobile app. Always a great way to listen to us live on the road, out and about. Big subscribe buttons. Just head out to homegadgetgeeks.com. Really the best way to get that. Don't forget, if you're in iTunes, subscribe, rate, review, all that good stuff. It's easy to do on the either on the phone or nobody should be using the Windows version of iTunes anymore. But on the phone, super easy to get that done, rate and review. Subscribe. If you're doing it on YouTube, we have both a live channel and we have a recorded channel out there. And the live channel is easy to find. You just go out to the live page. TheAverageGuy.tv/live, whatever's out there is directly linked to the live channel. If you want to be notified whenever we go live, that's the easiest way. Just subscribe to that channel, and you'll get a notification Thursday at 8, but well, 7:50 is kind of when we go live. Boom, it'll show up. If you want to know when I post the edited and recorded versions of it, head over to our, I think it's YouTube.com/TheAverageGuy, and you can, and that's the one that's in the blog post, so you can find that there. Subscribe. And again, when I post it, boom, you get notified that it's out there. So get that done. And if you're doing it on Spreaker, and a few of you do, 30-some every week, listen to us out on Spreaker. You can follow us out there as well. Don't forget, Mike and I stay around in the post show. We'll talk some crypto. We got some updates on Burst. And that's available on Patreon. I'm just making it available for everybody now. So head over to theaverageguy.tv/Patreon, and you can listen to it for free. Ryan Kirshner contacted me via Twitter this week. Actually, we just did a big Twitter thing today. If you're not following me on Twitter, at Jay Collison. Mike, how do they follow you? What are you?
Uyghur Tech, Uyghur Tech.
And Mike posted like, hey, what do you guys want us to talk about tonight? And I think we got a half a dozen to a dozen comments back.
Yeah, we did. It was awesome.
It was great. So thanks for doing that. A good way to get information into us.
You guys are driving the show tonight. You didn't know that. I was thinking this was going to be like one segment, and then we got such a good response. I'm like, we could do a whole show from user suggestions. So yeah, we're going to do a lot of them.
No, right on. And Ryan contacted me via Twitter, said he downloads the show, both this show and the post show, through the Patreon link so he can listen to it on his commute. That's the way he does it. You do it however you want. We don't really care. Whatever you want to do, I try to make it available every way possible to you. If there's a way you can't get it and I can help, let me know. Jim@theaverageguy.tv and we'll help you out. All right. A couple updates for you this week. Oh, by the way, Mike, welcome to the show.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Normally I bring you in on the weather conversation, and
right,
I decided we had so much content tonight, maybe we just skip the weather. It's just hot. It's hot.
It's just hot. It's miserable to be outside. That's it.
It is. I had a gadget-filled birthday. Many know, if you're listening to the show last week, I celebrated 50 this weekend. My Saturday was my 50th birthday. So we started, the morning started with an Amazon box that came in that morning that Sarah had ordered just in time for that day. And so I opened that up and she got me a really nice Nespresso. Have you seen those Nespresso makers?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, yes, those are nice. They make nice great coffee.
No. They like this is, and they're like run by a group of coffee snobs apparently. Yes. Because they're hard to find. They won't just sell the, you know, the K-cups are what you get for the Keurigs. Well, their cups are hard to find because they just won't sell them anywhere.
Yeah, like, and they control them. I mean, you don't know just any coffee company. Like, I mean, Keurig, you can really get anything you want, right? Yeah. And you can even fill your own cups with any grounds you have. No, Nespresso, they control it, and it's delicious. My parents have one, and whenever I go over there, I'm like, hey, can I have a cup of coffee? Because that stuff's really good. And yeah, it does everything too.
It does. It makes coffee, it makes espresso. You can do a bunch of different
you should get the milk mixer. Have you seen their milk mixer?
Well, hang on one sec.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, I'm jumping down a little bit.
Okay, it's all right. But the coffee pods have actually a bar scanner underneath them that the coffee maker reads. So you put the pod in there and it tells the coffee maker what the pod is.
And then it tells it how to, you know, how much water to use and how big the cup is. And because they have different size, right? They have different size cups that you could put in there that either make espresso or coffee. And so really, really cool. You know, the unit itself, if you go on Amazon and you just search Nespresso, I think we got the $99 version, which for coffee maker, $99, that's a Keurig.
Totally.
Right. Price wise,
you can cheaper than a Keurig sometimes, depending. Yeah. That's like a mid tier Keurig, I think.
I think you can get a version that has an app. You get an espresso that has an app. I haven't dug too deep into it. We got it Saturday morning. I tried it I had 9 cups of coffee that morning. You know, it's just super nice to put the pot in.
Yep. So satisfying.
One button, put it in there. And what it does differently than like a Keurig is you get the froth. You get the,
yes,
the creme. You get the that head on top of the coffee like you'd expect in a beer. And it tastes really great. I mean, it's really great coffee. So we tried different ways of kind of brewing it and mixing things with it. But yeah, I'm a big latte guy. And so Sarah did a whole bunch of research, and she also picked me up a Viva, I think it's a VAVA milk frother. And let me tell you what, if you're into like hot chocolate or frothing milk for coffee or tea, you know, if you make chai lattes, yeah, crema. Thanks, Mark. So that's what it's called. That the head on a coffee is called crema. So
didn't know that.
Yeah, I did. I forgot. So this Viva, I'm going to pronounce it. It's the version. It's completely. You have a base that has a little metal piece on it, and then you have a cup that has a little metal piece, and it's completely inductive. So you put it in, pour the milk in about this much, put the top on. And it's got a little pole and then a little metal piece down at the bottom. And it does everything magnetically. You hit it and it starts spinning that thing in the middle. And then a heater comes on and it heats the milk as well to the perfect temperature. And then it just spins that milk until it's done. And when it's done frothing and it's warm to the temperature you want it, it just shuts off. Mike, it could not be easier. This is a $40 frother. You would think it's, you know, you would think like, oh, you know, it's $100. No, no, no. It's a $40 frother.
That's a really good deal. I thought they were more expensive than that. Tried hot chocolate with that milk froth.
Oh my God. Yes. It's just so
so good.
Yeah. And you could, you know, little Hershey's chocolate sauce, mm-hmm. a little bit of milk in there. You don't have to have, you know, right. That's the good stuff, right? That's the good chocolate milk. And then let that thing warm up. Oh my God. And then add some peppermint chops. So we got two, when we talk about kitchen gadgets, imagine frothing with a cream or a half and half.
Oh,
Tony's like, I'm with you on the half and half. Like, Brian says, I just shake the half and half carton. Yeah, you could. you
That would work too. Just shaking it up.
That might be the funniest.
But it's not as satisfying, Brian. You got to watch this thing work.
God, that might be the funniest thing I've heard in a while, Brian. That's... shake weight, right?
Yep.
So think about maybe taking a heavier cream and putting it in there, and you know, it's the deal thing. It was super easy. And so Sarah really did a whole bunch of work. I mean, when you think about kitchen gadgets, these are cool. And it was like $140 for the whole thing. It's not terrible. Great coffee. Easy frother. Frother takes now. It used to be I'd brew my coffee. You know, I had a Mr. Good, Mr. Coffee. Yeah. I almost said Mr. Good Coffee. And I was thinking I was mixing Mr. Goodrich. But typically I put the milk in. I would make the coffee first and then I'd use a typical frother, a tube frother. And so I would then froth last and then pour that in. Well, now it takes. Because it's warming up the milk. We used to put the milk in the microwave to warm it up first, then froth it. Now you just pour it in, set it, hit the button, and then I can make the coffee.
And by the time your coffee's done, is it usually about perfect?
About done. Yeah, about done. So two really pretty awesome gadgets for the kitchen. You undo the, you know, on the top, on the lid, you lock it, and you hear this as it pushes 8 or nine. I forget what the number is. It pushes. It's not just one hole in there. There's six or eight that go around the outside, and then it puts a little water in the grounds to kind of moisten it before it runs the cycle for your coffee. So, you know, if you're in that Keurig space, now Nespresso, the cups are harder to get. They're a little more expensive. K-cups are probably 60 to 70 cents each, I think, is maybe.
Yeah, I can do the math on how much I spend. Actually, I just ordered, as you were talking, it reminded me to order, put my Keurig order in because, so I have the new Keurig that it does the K-cups, but it also does carafe cups. So you can do the whole carafe of coffee. Right. So on the weekends, Hannah and I both drink coffee. It does the full carafe. But you cannot find those anywhere in Omaha. I think maybe Bed Bath & Beyond might have them, but I don't have one close, so I don't go. So I order them online, and I just spent $47.
How many?
So that is two boxes of the carafe cups, and there's eight each. So that's 16 carafes of coffee plus a 24-count of Cinnabon singular K-cups.
Nice.
So that's quite a bit of coffee, actually.
That is, that's quite a bit, yeah.
24 cups plus 16 carafes of coffee. So, yeah. I mean, that's a lot.
Sarah doesn't like the flavor of, and I just threw the link in the chat room to the frother, if you're interested.
Doesn't like the flavor of what?
Of Keurig coffee. She's okay. It's never really settled for her. So
yeah, well, and there's just something different about the Nespresso. I don't know what they do that's so different, but it is so good. Even just the regular black coffee, because I like espresso, but I don't, you know, not big on cappuccinos or anything. I just like black coffee and gosh, they just do it right. I don't know what they're doing. It's fantastic.
Oh, it's super good.
I think you were talking about, it's the eight holes. It's how they're making it.
Right.
That's the secret sauce.
So yeah, you put the barcode in, and the barcode, it reads the barcode.
Yep.
And then you can hear it punch through, which is satisfying. And then when you're done, you flip that thing open and the lid pops open and it pops out the cup and drops it down the backside. And then it goes into a container for your, like it has a special container on the side.
Really? To hold the.
Yeah. Like a receptacle. And then we ordered the cups directly from the company. Again, they're about $1 each. So it's a little expensive, right? It's not cheaper than K-cups or Keurig. But then they send you a bag to recycle them. So in a UPS bag, postage paid. So you just put the bags.
So you empty. Oh, the old ones.
Yeah, you take the empties, put them in a bag, seal them up, drop them off at UPS. They'll go back to the company and they'll recycle them, which for free. Which I thought, well,
that's smart.
Okay, because they're hard to recycle. They're not, they're not really the typical recyclable components that come with. It's not totally plastic,
right?
Not, it's one of those kinds of things. It's like. And then our Papillion Sanitation that we use down here, they don't want to take the cups unless the coffee has been removed. Well, I mean, do you really, you're going to
open those up and squeeze it out? Yeah, no,
you're not going to do that.
No.
So pretty cool that you can just drop that in. So two really cool gadget, like kitchen gadgets. When we talk about that, you guys want to take a look in the show notes. I will leave a link to both the coffee maker. And again, I don't make anything off this anymore, but I will put links to both the coffee maker and this Viva frother, which is super cool. When I opened it, I was a little skeptical. I was like, oh, what's this pot frother thing? I was expecting, that kind of thing you see at Starbucks.
Yeah, where it's the arm that goes in.
Yeah. And Mark.
Because I had the same reaction. I had no idea what it was when I saw it. It's like,
I know.
What is this thing?
No, it's super.
Like, oh, let me show you. Yeah. And then he showed me, and I had the same reaction here. I'm like, this is fantastic.
It is super fantastic. So for $140,
would you do the Nespresso without the frother? Or do you think that's a necessary component?
No, you could do it. It's good. You could die. This depends. If you're a coffee and you add milk, you can just add milk to it. It's fine.
True.
Right? True. And, and I would add warm milk. Like I don't put cold milk in warm coffee anymore because you want to kind of get that warmed up before it goes in. But yeah, no, Mark's saying in chat, he goes, you could just have a show on kitchen gadgets. Yeah, well, we kind of do. We kind of did when we had Micah on a couple weeks ago. But yeah, that was really cool. And then so those quickly skeptical at first. And actually, she bought it to put down here because on Saturday mornings when I'm doing Ask the Podcast Coach, I ran out of coffee.
Like that's smart.
We're on for an hour and a half. And
yeah,
coffee's gone in 30 minutes.
It's the same reason I have a fridge right here for when we podcast you. Can't run out of beer.
Run out of coffee. So she was going to put it down here. And it's such a beautiful machine. I'm like, oh, no. We're not, this isn't going to get hidden in the basement. Like, this needs to be on the counter. You need to use it. It needs to be in a spot where I can get water and things to it in the frother and stuff. So it replaced the, we had a pump espresso maker. That's gone.
Okay.
And we'll take that. I'll take it to work and use it or something, but, or give it away, whatever. But yeah, no, pretty cool. And then, so those two, and then for the kids on Monday night, they got me a 50 cigar humidor, which is really cool.
That's
right?
So cool.
Dude, super sweet. And 15 cigars in there. And then we immediately, so we had dinner immediately on the back deck smoking cigars. So that was pretty cool. I've entered the world of having a, humidity controlled box to store cigars.
You're the real deal now. You're not just you're no longer a recreational cigar guy.
And I got to be careful, Mike, because that's like you start, I do it 3 times a year now, maybe if I'm lucky, because they're not here.
Right. But now that you have them, right?
I know. So a buddy of mine from LinkedIn was in town yesterday and it's like we went out to dinner and we were going to go to a cigar bar, but it was packed. It was so nice. Then it was so nice out last night. The outdoor space was packed. Right. So I'm like, hey, you want to just go to my house? And he had Cubans and I mean like legit Cubans. And we spent some time smoking them. Yeah. And Lofta says, are the cigars to maintain your podcast voice? It's a little rough. I was smoking them last night and it's a little rough today.
Hey, with that raspiness, that gives you that edge. Yeah. Everyone loves that raspy podcast voice.
I don't know. It's painful, but really, really cool to get. I mean, I would never would have bought that kind of gift for myself. I just wouldn't have done that, but it's something I've really kind of enjoyed doing a couple times a year, big celebrations with the kids, birthdays, big anniversaries, having a drink and
it's a perfect hangout thing, right? Like I agree. Yeah.
Yeah. So a great birthday weekend. Many of you listening sent me birthday wishes. I appreciate that. It was super fantastic to get. I even got somebody sent me a $50 Amazon gift card, which I turned right into for my grill. I bought some new stones. Like they look like dominoes. I don't know if you've seen them. They're three and a half by 2 inches, and they're about 3/4 of an inch thick, and they just have holes in them. You can set them right on top of the burner, not right on top, but on the grate on the burner. And it keeps the flames down, but it allows even heat across the bottom.
Gotcha. Okay.
$20 bucks on Amazon. They came. Here's a great thing. So after the show on Saturday, Dave Jackson was kind enough to send me a birthday gift. I turned that into those stones. They said, hey, we can have them delivered by Monday. Monday was a U.S. holiday. And I was like, I have to barbecue that night. They arrived 6:30 in the morning, something like 7.
On Memorial Day?
Memorial Day. Yeah.
Wow.
It was crazy, dude. I was like,
it wasn't USPS. So what was it?
No, it was US Postal.
Really?
They have the contract for weekends and holidays.
Oh.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So yeah, ceramic briquettes is what Mark Robson is saying. And it was pretty cool. It was good.
Well, successful good birthday. Week or, birthday.
Good. Yeah. Good birthday weekend gadget.
Very
got
nice.
A chance to use. I got a new propane torch for that, a little handheld torch for the cigars and to light the smoker pellets that I have. So it was great. I used everything this weekend. You at the end of the show last week, you and I were debating and even into the post show, debating pretty heavily about your mower. We were going to go Ryder, and I thought we had you talked in to the Husqvarna robot. So what happened?
Yeah, you did. You had me talked into it. And then, so I went up and I talked to Hannah about it, and she was obviously, of course, logical about the whole thing, and which I always hate. I was just excited and she was being logical about things, which is never fun. But we started to think about the way my lawn is. My lawn is, so first of all, I only have half an acre. But the majority of the lawn I mow is considered front yard because we talked about this. I have a U-shaped lot, which I mean, when I say U-shaped, I mean three sides of my lot are streets because I live in a cul-de-sac, but then I'm also on the end of the cul-de-sac and there's a street right behind me. So I have three sides. So it's all front yard. I'm like, that is a lot of yard for that thing to be out there all the time. And for some kids not to try and go over and mess with it or for it to be crossing the sidewalk, people are running by our on our sidewalk all the time. We get so much foot traffic that that thing just crossed. It's just good. It was going to be a headache. And then the whole putting it in the front yard and backyard thing. So we decided, and Hannah brought up a good point, and I really hadn't thought about this. She goes, "You're not ready to give up mowing the yard yet." So what do you mean? She goes, "You take so much pride in your yard being pristine. You love clean edges. You're always out. You spend the extra time to edge, even though it takes you a whole extra hour." And she was right. So we didn't end up going with that, but we did go with, so I put out on Twitter a while ago, and thank you to everyone who gave me suggestions on which riding to go with. And I went with a Cub Cadet XT1. And I am extremely happy with it. I've already mowed twice with it, even though I just got it last weekend. I of course mowed the very next day, and then I just mowed last night. The speed at which I can do my whole lawn is insane. What used to take me 4.5 hours is now 1 hour and 40. So it's super, super quick. And yeah, great. I think it's a great decision. I watched a lot of videos, did my research on in that price range, which ones people were choosing. And it was tough. I was going back and forth between the Deer and the Cub Cadet. But at that price point, I would have had to spend more to get the quality Deer. And I just, you know, I was already stretching it by getting a tractor for a half acre, right? Like, you know, half acre, you really shouldn't need a riding mower. So I was like, well, I can't justify the more money for anything else. So yeah, went with the Cub Cadet. Love it. It's got a beer holder, or cup holder, whatever you want to call it. And so you can enjoy a nice beer. It's got a phone holder on the side too, just big enough for your iPhone. So you can put that in there, listen to a podcast, put the beer down in there, and just start cruising. Works out pretty well. And then I got the bagger attachment for it too. So the bagger attachments are as expensive as a push mower. Those baggers are like $350 just for the attachment to put on the back of that thing. So went with that. Extremely happy with it. So if anyone is looking for one, obviously I've only had it for a week, but the Cub Cadet has been pretty good.
Nice. Well, it does make sense what you were talking about with the, you know, with the kids in the neighborhood, and it's not necessarily 100% secure. Although I would have challenged you on that to say, you don't mow during the day, Mike, you mow at night. Right. That thing runs at night. It runs between 2 and 6 in the morning. Right.
Well, but I did my research, and if you want it to do well, you really do want it to run 24/7.
Okay.
A lot of people were running them 24/7. If you wanted to do all that space, you know, so yeah.
Well, no, you did the right thing. Like, I think you're super happy with your rider.
I am. Yeah. And I do like mowing the lawn. It's something I do enjoy doing still, you know, and that's the thing Hannah said too. She goes, "You still enjoy it now. Wait until you don't. And by that time, these things will probably be so advanced and cheaper that," and so she had a good point. If we just wait a few years, 10 years, you know, when I actually don't like mowing, I still enjoy it now. And Tony says, hour and 40 minutes for a half acre. What do you do? So I mow, I edge, and you got to remember, since three sides of my lot are streets, that's a lot of, and they all have sidewalk.
Right.
That's sidewalk and street that I have to edge, and so it takes me forever to edge. I edge, and then I blow everything off, and then I use that time to clean up too. So
yeah,
you know, that's. I know it sounds like a long time, but it's not bad.
No,
not when you do all that stuff. I do the I have a lot of spaces I need to weed whack too, because I can't get to a lot of the spaces with the mower on my property, so I have to weed whack. So that's a long time too.
Yeah. No judgment there. That's, it's, you know, it is what it is. And, it's probably a good call for you. So,
yeah.
So I'm disappointed. I want to come over and help you.
I know. And I knew you would be. I'm like, this isn't as cool. And, in a few years, I'll go for it. And then Brian asked, do you have an actual edger? Yes. It's electric, but it's the Edgehog by Black & Decker. Works pretty well. If you guys are looking for a relatively inexpensive edger, it's like $80. Get it at Lowe's, or I think even Target sells them. Dude, they do a really good job.
You know, I've been looking for this Nespresso while you were talking on Amazon, and I can't find the one I bought Sarah bought for me, the $99 version of it. So maybe it went up. Maybe it was lower priced over the weekend. You know, so I'll have to keep an eye on that. Put it in the chat, or put it in the show notes when we're done. So, well, I'll have to come over and check it out. And I got to get you over here so we can smoke cigars.
That's what I'm excited
for. We got to figure out.
We don't care about the mower. I want to come down and smoke.
Yeah, and the mower's cool, but it'd be fun to come down, enjoy some beers, and get some cigar time in on a nice evening I have trees that face the west, and so as the sun's going down, it goes right through the trees. It's super beautiful, and enjoy that. So we'll have to get that done. Mike, one of the suggestions we got, and I think it was kind of Kevin Schoonover that threw it to you. I mentioned earlier that you threw out on Twitter, hey, what are some show ideas? We wanted to hear from you and what you're interested in. I think we'll cover a couple topics around what you asked for. Some of them we covered before, so we're going to hold off on those. But Mike, when you think about your daily drivers, like what are you using? And I'm going to roll through kind of the whole setup here, but talk a little bit about what are you using? What do you got set up there? What are your PCs? Give us some configurations. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So my daily drivers in terms of devices I use all the time are going to be my MacBook Pro. And I don't use that as much as I used to. It's one of the newer models. So I think I bought it in 2017, but I think technically it's a late 2016 model. But I got the i7, made sure I kind of future-proofed it so that it could last me for a long time because I wasn't podcasting anymore, but I still wanted a computer that could edit video on and it could podcast and do all that sort of stuff. So hopefully this laptop gets me through. So as far as a laptop or a computer that I use every day, still using the Mac. iPhone 7 Plus as my phone, which actually I just shattered the screen on. When I was mowing, actually, I left it on the back. I set it on the back bumper of Hannah's car, and she went out to go do something, and that was shattered. But there's, those 1 hour fix it places. No, it didn't. No. So, okay. But iFix Omaha fixed it for $99, so not too
good. Good.
iPhone 7 Plus, I was thinking about upgrading to the 10, but I think I'm going to wait until their phone this year. I think they'll make an improvement on the 10. So I'm going to wait and see what they come out with in the fall. And then Xbox One S, I know it's a weird thing to call a daily driver, but as far as when I come home and if we're Hannah and I sit down to watch anything, we're using the Xbox One S. I watch all my YouTube videos on there. I don't sit in front of a computer anymore really to watch YouTube videos. I'll probably just sit on the couch and watch it on TV because it's such a nice experience on there. We access Plex, YouTube TV, all that stuff. So we use the Xbox One. That is on a lot in our house because Hannah or I, and even if we're not watching TV, we run Spotify on that because it connects to our speakers and we play our music through there as well. So it's pretty much always on. And then I just got the new current gen iPad and it's the cheaper version. So we talked about this a while back, but they have a $349 iPad now that is the smaller form factor, still cheaper. It's current gen chipset, but just smaller actually. And I think it's actually the less powered current gen chipset and it's not too bad. I actually have it on right here. If the playoff game is on it. So not too bad. I got a little keyboard case for it. This device is becoming more and more a device that I have on my lap all the time. And actually I got it for work because I take it around all the time to meetings as my kind of, open up OneNote. I have my Outlook on there and can send emails and take notes if I need to during any meeting. So as far as daily drivers go, that's what I got. And then I don't know if we want to go into server rack.
Talk a little bit about what you
got. Those are technically daily drivers too. They're just in the background. You don't think you're using them. So real quick, in my server rack, I've got the Dell R710, and that's a quad core dual E5606, 5606s at 2.13 gigahertz and 24 gigs of RAM in that thing. And then also the Dell R210 version 2, that's a quad core E3 1220, 3.1 gigahertz with 8 gigs of RAM. That is just my PF Sense box. So the R210 is only PF Sense. And then an old Dell Optiplex, which has an i5 2400 in it, pretty old, 3.1 gigahertz, 8 gigs of RAM. That is mainly now, it was used for a lot of different stuff. Now it's just pretty much my SiteHound security box. So that runs all my security cameras. And then the old mining rig, which isn't even worth talking about the specs in there. But you'll notice my server rack is utilizing old hardware. And that's why I love it. I go on eBay, buy old enterprise-grade servers, and use them in the home. And they still work pretty well. And those two models specifically are rare because they're low power consumption. Low relatively, right? Like that Dell R710 is a huge box. Only pulls about 140 at idle and like 195 at load, which, I mean, yes, that's considerable amount of energy, but not too high when you think about a server of that size and what some of the other ones do. So that makes up my entire list of what is currently in my lineup.
Yeah. It's kind of a sickness. You got most people, are happy to have one PC in the house.
Yeah. And I have like a bunch of different options, right? If I want to go to different stuff.
Yeah. But, you know, and one of the things is I was thinking through this exercise with you as we were in pre-show kind of talking about it. You know, one of the things is like, you know, what's next? Like what you said, you just picked up an iPad, right?
Yep.
So you kind of, you're there. As you look ahead, are you have an eye on anything, or is there anything out there that you're kind of looking forward to?
You know, right now my focus has not been on my personal computing items. It's been more on my network and my media experience. So what in my home can make my media experience better? Because that's really, I don't have too much time anymore with the kids to sit down and use a personal computer or really even an iPad. Like, yes, I do get some time to do that, but a lot of my time is spent, Hannah and I finally have 2 minutes. We sit down the other night and we watch a show together before we go to bed or something like that. So it's media, it's network. I've come to find out about myself is that I'm a huge network nerd. Like I love networking gear, whether it's PFSense or Ubiquiti, access points, running wire. I love running new wire in the house. If I can pull new Ethernet cord, I will. I'll get up in my attic no matter what temperature it is. And so it's been a lot of fun doing those sort of upgrades. And that's been what I've been focusing on. So yeah, I have a lot of things I have my eye on in the networking space as far as upgrades to my network. But as far as personal computing, I think I'm pretty well set with the exception of my phone. I always do like to upgrade my phone at least every 2 years. So I have the iPhone 7. I skipped the 8 and the 10, and I'll get the next version out. So every 2 years, usually I'm trying to upgrade the phone just because since that is the one device, since I'm not using a computer very often, I'm not spending the money on personal computers or graphics cards or anything like that. The phone is, I need this to be snappy and fast. So if this starts to slow down, I really start to notice it because I'm using it for everything. And it's funny, even if I'm using one of my desktops at home or even my Mac laptop, usually I'm using TeamViewer on my phone from my couch to utilize them because I'm not going to go down and sit at my desk or anything like that. I'm just sitting on the couch. I'll just TeamViewer into it if I need to use that machine for something. But so no, not in the personal computing space. I don't really have my eye on anything. I did on a gaming PC for a while, wanted to build one of those, but prices are still just too high on the graphics cards to consider that right now.
They're coming down a little bit, right?
They are. For me though, it's not a necessity. So I need the prices to come back down to like pre-crypto prices, and then we'll start to consider a gaming PC.
I always kind of gauge that kind of based on the, you know, I bought those Asus GTX 1060s, the 3 gig version, single fan. And so I kind of gauge where the market is by looking those up again. I think we're due for another set of new cards that are coming out maybe a fall or something, I think maybe. And okay. It'll be interesting to see where prices go. And maybe I can't. The card I have is still about 300 on Amazon, which I got them for 215. So maybe they haven't come back down.
They're still up there at a premium.
Yeah. I don't think as high as they were, but, certainly not as low as I think we'd like them to be. So, here in the Collison house. So, you know, let me answer the question I asked you first is that I'm not thinking about any upgrades right now, which is really weird. It's the first time in a while I don't have eyes on the next version of something. Like not looking at the next, you know, the Ryzen chips from AMD. I'm not looking at the new Intel, you know, the new Intel chips that are coming out. I'm not thinking about building a 32 gig or 64 gig server, you know, with a whole bunch of storage in it. I'm kind of content with what I have. Everything's running and it's running something that I have here, but I've got, you know, I go back to a third gen Core i7. That is what I'm on right now. I've got those two GTX 1060s, which I've actually started using as, I know this is going to be a huge surprise, as graphics cards.
What? Is that you can do that?
Yeah. Apparently if you hook a monitor to them, and then
is that what those holes in the back are for? I always wondered.
I thought they were like airflow, yeah, or maybe you plug extra boost cables into them to get more.
That's what I thought too, more crypto out of them, or it was like a pipe. You just pump crypto from that to something else. That's
connect them together. For. Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah, you know, something like that. SLI. I don't know, but it. I've actually hooked them up to the monitors. I'm like, oh, I got them, and I'm not really mining with them for the most part. I might as well just use them as actual graphics cards. People, gamers were all pissed at us for taking them. And I don't really, you know me, I have trouble selling things. That's just, I admit it. I have a problem.
Yeah.
I have a problem selling things. I'm not good at it. I don't want to do it. So I'm embracing it, Mike. I'm just embracing it. I'm not a good seller. So
hey, that, I mean, that's a great idea though. Cause I wish I would have kept at least one. Cause think about it. I had cards that were perfectly fine for the gaming I want to do. I'm not a hardcore gamer, but it would have been perfectly fine to run, you know, Fortnite or something like that on a PC. So, and I wish I would have kept one, but I didn't.
So running two monitors off two cards, they're there. If I want to turn them back on mining, I can. That's great. 250 gig SSD drive in that with 16 gig of RAM. Pretty standard. Does what it's supposed to do. It's in a big, it's in one of those cool Cooler Master boxes, the big square ones. Mm-hmm. Love those things. I'm not sure. They have room for everything. They have easy, you can get the drives in and out easy. It's got a tray that pulls out for the motherboard. It fits just about any size power supply. It's a great box, and you just can do a ton with it. I don't know if I buy a traditional stand-up tower box anymore.
Right.
If I'm going to go with the new box, I think I'm going to go with that style. It's that land party style where it's got two handles on the side. So in theory, you could build a monster and then carry it to a land party. Well, I'm not carrying it to a land party. Let's just be honest. But it's a great box. So that's the kind of the primary driver. I've got an old Core i3 that actually was my primary driver for a lot of years before I upgraded. And that has become the driver for the video. So the audio and the video that you're getting right now is just run off this Core i3 box. That just does its thing. It's got 8 gig of RAM. It's got a 250 gig SSD. It runs everything I need it to run. It's actually got two 1060s in it as well that are just sitting there at this point. I'll do something with them eventually. But although if prices pick up, I may turn them back on. That's kind of why I held on to them, because I'm like, if we see a run.
It's not costing. They're turned off. Might as well keep it around. Have the option in the future.
Yeah. I'll have to ask Jim, are the LAN party days over? Yeah, for me, they are anyways. I don't know if kids are doing that anymore. They are carrying Xboxes and PlayStations and doing it. They're getting together.
Yeah.
They're doing it virtually as well. But I know college kids are like, oh, yeah, I took my Xbox over and we didn't have to.
Oh, okay. Totally. Even just a few years ago in college, we brought them into the same dorm room, to play around. And then Lopta also said you have a R210 just for PFSense, but it's an older model. Well, so I was looking at, for routers, if you got a Ubiquiti router or any other brand of router, they're at least $100. Edge routers you can get for like $55. But I got that R210 for $120. It's a little bit older, but it's a super overpowered PFSense box. So I am future-proofing. I could run gigabit. If I ever got gigabit internet, I could run it. And it was the same price as other routers around. So you just got to shop the eBay deals. That's what I did for both of those. And both of them are, like you said, if you heard the specs on them, they're not current gen servers.
Yeah. And mine aren't either. Yeah. I bought for the burst box that we're using here. I bought a PC. We've talked about this. It's an Optiplex 990 Core i7. It's an early generation Core i7, 16 gig of RAM. It came from work with a 250 gig SSD, $65, which was awesome, right?
Those Optiplex machines are perfect machines that you can get on eBay. They're always selling them. That's what's running my security camera footage, and that thing is just a workhorse.
Right.
Those things just last forever.
No USB 3, which I was a little disappointed. I had to buy some ports to get that to kind of get that done.
They're the Honda Civic of computers. Like they'll run forever as long as you take care of them. Yeah. They're gonna treat you right.
Good little box, good size, a completely underpowered power supply. So there's no way I'm taking one of those 1060s and move them into that box. It doesn't even have a connector for it. So if I'm gonna move at one point I thought I'd move the miners into that box so I'd have burst and the miners running all in the same box. It would have been awesome, right? And then it doesn't have the right power supply. So I'd have to replace that. And at that point I was like, okay, I need to stop spending money on things. Cause I'm spending more money than I'll ever see in the mining space. Right. Some old equipment still hanging around. You can see to my picture right here is I've still got an HP N40L that I think Gavin had asked, how come nobody's using home servers anymore? We may talk about this a little bit later. Ironically, that's still my home server. So I'm using Windows 10 for it, but I've got, I'm running StableBit drive pool on it, and I got 4 terabytes in that box. I've been monkeying around a little bit with storage on that thing. It used to be when I was using CrashPlan, it was my CrashPlan backup. It worked great for Windows 10 because CrashPlan would only work on a desktop client. and I would move everything there and it would back it up. Well, with CrashPlan's demise and moving the Morrow data box and going to Backblaze, we talked about that last week, I don't have as much of a need for it anymore. So I'm kind of, it's one of those boxes. It's powering this monitor right now. That's its job, is to power that monitor. That's right behind me right there. So, it sits and waits. I'm sure I'll come up with a use for it at some point. It's a really nice box. I could get multiple drives in it. Like I said, easily I got 4 terabytes in there with just throwing some drives in and grouping them together with StableBit. So that's pretty cool. Behind it is actually a Dell 3050, I want to say. Brian Auer can tell me in the chat room if I get that right. It's one he recommended to me a couple years ago. Little box. It's one of those little minis, not much bigger than this. And that's the SIA server. So it's got, I think I put an SSD in there. I think it's got 4 gig of RAM. I forget the processor, but it just runs. It's really cool. It's got USB ports like it
I
does.
I love those machines that just do that. Yeah. Because I forgot I also have my Kangaroo. And that is actually powering this PC right above me. If you catch me looking up, it's my security camera monitor. So it doesn't run it, but it remotes into the other machine and it just displays them up here so I can see my cameras while I'm sitting at my desk.
Yeah, and I burned up one of those Kangaroos and they replaced it, right? Way back, we talked about that. Yep, using it. It's a storage box. So I got storage on it. I got one node. It's 4 gig. It's a 4 gig box. So it can run a node of storage. And for now, it does its thing. It just sits there, super efficient. It's kind of hidden behind the boxes over here. So, and then I bought at the meetup last fall from Kevin Schoonover, since he asked this question, I bought that AMD low power AMD motherboard and chip from him, 16 gig of RAM. And that's actually, I've got 4 instances of storage on that thing running right now. And it makes a great storage box. And when I'm saying storage, I mean the cryptocurrency storage, STORJ. Right. We've talked about that before, too. We won't go too in the depth on that. It's a good little storage box. Super inefficient. It does its job. It's really good. I've used it as a pfSense box. You could use it for anything. Super low power, lots of memory. You could crunch some, anything where it's memory intensive and not CPU intensive would be great. I'd used it for burst for a while. The CPU just wasn't quite up to burst. So that kind of goes through. I now have 2 UPSs because I have so many PCs down here. One could not, handle it. I get those APC 1000s, or I think I have an 1100, and they get, they can power maybe 2 or 3 if it's low power. And so I've actually got an APC small box that does just the network devices. I've got an APC 1000 that does 1 or 2 of the PCs, and an 1100 that does another PC or two. And that seems to be I've got kind of the right combination of everything kind of run. Kangaroo, I don't need to back up. It's got a battery built into it, right? Surface, I didn't mention I got a Surface and an RT sitting on my desk as well. And Surface got a battery. Don't need to worry about backing that one up. Just run that into power, right? Don't need to worry about that. So the RT, its battery is dead. It doesn't allow me, if I unplug it, it just dies. But that kind of gives you, there's a bunch. Again, because I have a problem selling things. I should have sold some of these things a long time ago.
Right.
I just can't let it go.
And I've learned not to on some of that sort of stuff that you're talking about. You'll always find little uses for them, like storage, like things like that, where having a little PC around is still, even if it's super old, still works out. I keep all my stuff. I'm just like you. And I think actually, so I only have a PSU on my rack, but that has the R710 in it, the R210 in it, the Optiplex, the monitor, and the mining rig running burst. And I think I'm only at about 400 watts. So not too bad considering all the devices that are in that rack. Pretty power efficient as far as that goes.
Brian says it's the 3050 micro. That's the one I was talking about, the Dell 3050 micro. It's great to have handy, to have a box like that. Mike, running crypto on them now, but if I needed it for something else, I just tear them down. I just burn them down, put, go back to what they were and use them again. That's kind of the handy, I tried that Kangaroo in the kitchen. It was really not powerful enough. I ran some of that SETI software on the Kangaroo, ended up burning it up in the process. That's not really great. It's not really designed for that. So they sent me a new one of those. That's so Kevin, there you go. Thanks for giving us the the rundown. Tony had asked, Tony had been the one, it's the current backup strategy. So Mike, so you got all these things. How are you getting them backed up?
For backup, I'm using iCloud for all of my photos and iOS device backups, just the easiest. And since Hannah and I both use iPhones and my computer's a Mac, using iCloud as the photo backup just makes sense and it's super easy. So I haven't got away from that. And Dropbox for file storage, Google Drive for Upshot Omaha. So that's just my business site, and mainly because I just started using it with Google Apps. That's where my email, if you at upshotomaha.com, any of those emails go through Google Apps. So I love having that, and being able to share out with clients is super easy from that as well, which I really like to do. And that's my backup. And then as far as everything else, like my files, my home videos, I have a second backup of all my photos. So I take my photos from the Photos app that's backed up to iCloud. I copy it over to my NAS, which I say it's a NAS, but it's the R710. So my R710 runs Windows 10 and just has a share on it. That R710 has 8 hard drives, I think. 6 of them are rated. And it's only got about 3 terabytes of space when you do it that way, but it works. And so that box is technically my home server, right? That's my storage. That's my NAS. Throw everything over there. Anything else that needs to be backed up in my house, if it's not backed up one of the ways I talked about, it's going over to the NAS. And then that entire share is backed up to Backblaze. We talked about one of the benefits of running Windows 10. And, you know, we'll talk about this later because Gavin asked why we don't use home servers. So I technically am, because I'm running that Windows 10 on the R710. And you can use the desktop version of Backblaze and only pay $60 a year for unlimited. And it doesn't really know it's a NAS, right? It considers it a desktop PC, but I got a bunch of hard drives in there, so you can treat it. So you get $60 a year for unlimited backup of your home server or NAS, which is kind of nice.
Yeah. And, you know, I probably would have gone that direction had I not spent time with the Morrow Data guys.
Oh, if I had a Morrow Data box, I would be using that. That thing is pretty slick. Yeah. I love that box. I can't justify spending more money on another storage device, or else I totally would. If I was to buy another NAS, and I've told a lot of people about those Morrow boxes because my dad was looking for another one and one of my in-laws was looking for another one. I said, you guys should check this out. So, but they are a little bit pricey still.
You're starting at 5. And yeah, so exactly. It's a little, you know, I probably wouldn't have done that. Just to be honest, I probably wouldn't have done that on my own.
Right.
Morrow Data, Tony and the guys over there. Very, very generous to pass that along. We talk about it quite a bit. They talk to me every once in a while, send me notes, say, hey, how's it going? What are you thinking? You know, they're watching and helping me with that. It's been a good little NAS box, and it does way more than I'm using it for. But it has been moving all my data. We talked about that last week. Moving all my data onto it and just using it now. Oh, dude, drop dead simple. It's just, if I need the file, it goes and gets it. If it's not there, it's storing at least a terabyte in its cache. So if I've used it recently, it will most likely be there. And the Backblaze integration was drop dead simple. Create a B2 account, create a bucket, get a number, put your number in Morrow Data, boom, you're done. It starts, you create a folder, it starts backing up that folder to Backblaze. So pretty simple. Pretty simple use. Again, like you're saying, barriers, cost of entry for most people. But if you're in that NAS, you're thinking about buying a NAS, and you know, even if you're going to build one, if you don't have the components, you're going to be in the $300 to $400. If you can use a PC, Drobo, a Synology, those are going to be $250 to $500. So it's pretty close. In that, I mean, I still have my Drobo. I've got 7 terabytes of storage right now on my Drobo that's available there. You know, my progression to backup was the Drobo went to CrashPlan and they desupported that. And then CrashPlan desupported the backup client and moved us all on to the business plan. And it's just been a disaster. I thought it would work and it hasn't. My plan comes up in September, maybe October. I'm going to cancel the whole thing and because I moved on to Backblaze. And so it just didn't make sense. I think, though, if I didn't have the Morrow box, I would be doing what you're doing. Is I'd be back on my N40L. I'd have file share going on in the network. Yeah. I'd be using the Backblaze client at $60 a year unlimited.
Yeah, super easy. Yeah. And Mark had a great idea. So he said, I wonder if you could run it on a VM on that R710 on the server, if you were running server grade OS, and point it to that server file share. I bet that would work. I bet as long as you open up, spot up a Windows 10. And that's another reason I love having that R710. We talked about having this old, these old boxes that just provide a lot of utility. Is I'm always spinning up VMs on those things. I'll spin up a Linux distro and do something with it, play around with it for a little bit, and then shut it down and delete it. And you know, when you have these old boxes, you have the availability to just kind of do that. So keeping those super old PCs, you don't always need the fastest. You just need to spin something up just to see if you can do it, because you spin your VMs up on Azure, right? Because you have a credit with them. So if you ever need to spin up a distro, you can just do it there.
I do. Although as of July 1st, I have not opted to renew my Microsoft MVP. I'm so busy at work right now. Career is on fire. Lots of great things are happening. I don't want this podcast to suffer. I just didn't have the time. Things, family's been busy, lots of things going on. So I notified Microsoft that I wouldn't be applying. It was, they were cute. I didn't submit the paperwork, and I got a note from them. Hey, we didn't see your paperwork. Like, everything okay? Yeah. And I'm like, oh yeah, sorry. No, I'm going to choose to just close it out. So my Azure credits will stop. My access to software will stop at some point. That's a huge benefit that I'm turning away. I just didn't feel good about, I wasn't getting the time to do the testing. I wasn't as involved in the community. Talk about Microsoft a lot, but that just didn't, I was having trouble justifying it in my own mind. So I just kind of said, I think I'm done here, guys. I'm having a hard time. I'm having a hard time justifying it at this point. And I'm in a different phase. I'm just in a different phase of my life. I don't know if I want to do that kind of stuff for them. I'm more interested in the crypto side of things. And my internships at work have gone nuts, and they're doing really well. And I got a lot of work to do with those. And, the recruiting and the podcasting I do both here and at work have taken a lot of time, and they're being very successful. We're doing 35,000 downloads a month at work with podcasts, right?
Yeah. You got to go where your interests lie
and
you like to do.
So turn it down. So it'll end in, I don't, but that being said, I was spinning up, I could spin up in, it's not super efficient to do it that way. It's much more fun to spin those up locally on server. Right. I enjoyed that more, although I just didn't want to maintain server instances either. It's kind of like, no, just bare metal hardware is a lot easier. We've alluded to this a couple times, Mike, and Gavin had kind of asked, why have we moved away? Why have we all moved away from home servers? Although what's funny, but neither you and I have, we just don't really talk about them that much.
Yeah, we don't talk about it too much. No.
Why do you think that is? I mean, I think, let me just pose that question to you and then I'll jump in. Why do you think there's less on home servers and these days than there's been in the past?
I think for the average guy, you can go out now and you can get an affordable NAS that, number one, is more affordable. Number two, uses way less power. I mean, you're talking sub 10 watts and my R710 is pulling 150, right? So if I would give up the ability to spin up VMs. And so that R710 is also my Plex server, which pulls from the tuner and records. We'll talk about that here in a second. But so it's doing some other stuff, but you can do a lot with a lot cheaper hardware now. So I think people are just choosing to go the easy route, grab one of those cheaper NASs, the name brand ones, and go with that if all they're looking for is storage. And then the other reason is that a lot of the stuff is just hosted in the cloud. We don't need servers anymore, because most of the stuff that we're going to do, for the average guy, everyone in the chat room is going to just light me up right now, because we all, us, you and I included, and the people in the chat room, we love it because we have the need for it. But I think most people don't need them anymore.
Yeah. Well, and Tony says, Microsoft killed all the home server products. Yes, but you can, let's just for argument's sake, let's just say when we are saying home server, what we mean is a Windows-based file storage, file server at home, not the home server product per se. By the way, I still have copies of that in my library right there that I'm going to keep forever until I die. My kids will be like, what is this crap? And they're going to throw it away. Home server 2011. What is this crap? Like we did with my dad's stuff. Mm-hmm. You end up throwing it away. So for the sake of argument, let's just say for this discussion, I'm really referring to a Windows server based system that's a file store that you have at home. Okay. So not necessarily the traditional home server product.
Right.
I agree with you that I think the popularity of the NAS devices got easy. I also agree with you that cloud options got pretty good and a lot for not a little. I mean, for a little, you could get quite a bit of cloud storage, get it there. You'd mentioned, I also use OneDrive. So I've got 70 gig or 170 gig or something of available storage up there. And I knew I leave files that I need, the budget, some documents. I leave those there on OneDrive because they're super easy to get to. That way I can get to them from anything. I get to them from my phone, a PC, somebody else's computer, super easy, right, to get to them. So I put those things on OneDrive and have them there. So I am using some cloud for that. But we're here, you know, we talked about Morrow Data to Backblaze, but I'm also running Acronis on all the main PCs. So this one, I think I moved it to let's see. Oh, maybe the media server's got it now. And then my wife's PC have it. So I have a 3 license instance of Acronis. So pretty amazing software. And you should just own it. If you don't own a copy of Acronis, you should own it just because it's got some great utilities in it about backing up and restoring and fixing things in it. But I actually move those. I do a local backup to an IOSafe drive. So if the house burned down, I would have a pretty recent copy of all my PCs on a fireproof hard drive. And it's just another insurance kind of thing for me. We back up the network drive to Backblaze, but the local PCs get backed up to something local. For a while, I was moving those to the Drobo as well. So I'd make a copy on the IOSafe drive, which is pretty slow. Copy to the Drobo, which is a little bit faster. And I'd have them in 2 places in case I needed to restore for whatever reason they were available there. So Mark asked, he's Veeam. Yeah. And that's Veeam is a big solution that Paul Barron uses as well. And works pretty well. It's free. It's a good way to do it. I'm just a big fan of Acronis. It's something I've gotten into and it kind of works. So that's kind of been my backup strategy to this point is moving those things around. Mike, how often do you go and check your backups? You know, like, are they still running? Are they still doing what they're supposed to be doing?
Not often. And I, so much so I keep getting the, hey, your Time Machine backup hasn't backed up in 60 days, 30 days. It like keeps popping up on my Mac. I keep getting close. I don't take care of it very often as much as I should. But as far as everything else for me, it's all automatic. Like Dropbox, all of those to the cloud, at least are automatic. And then manually over to the NAS, as I'm going to call it. I do that every month. I'm going and looking at that.
Ken was talking about your photos and, you know, sometimes we back them up to services where we're giving away some of the digital copyrights to them. You know, in other words, they go there. That might be, you know,
That's not true.
Yeah. You still own them.
Yeah. You still own it. They don't own your data. Now you're at their mercy.
Right,
and if they have a breach, your stuff can be taken. But as far as ownership of the actual files, you still own it.
Yeah.
But you're definitely at their mercy and you're putting yourself at risk for those stuff being taken. And if Google packs up and says, we're done, you're done. So,
and they won't.
And kind of looking at stuff. No, they won't. But some of these other ones might, right? Look at all the other options that sometimes have closed down.
I have a great little app from Drobo that when I come in the house and I hit Wi-Fi, it automatically backs up my pictures to the Drobo. So that's another place, right, for me to have them locally. Right.
Yep.
I also take them to the cloud. Like
that's my thing too, right? Like iCloud, and I throw them over onto the NAS, and there's just multiple ways I can grab those. Because
we use
the photos too. Is really the only thing I care about. Yeah. To be perfectly honest, I could lose everything else and probably be totally fine.
Yeah.
But
Drash makes a good point. Google won't is what I said, and then he said, "Well, then there was Amazon Cloud Drive, and they backed out on some of that." I do know, you know, Google's made a commitment. They just made a 2 terabyte commitment to people and are getting out ahead of that. So in this case, at least today, nothing's forever, guys. Like nothing is forever. You got to have your backup plan associated with it. But there are propensities that are higher than others. And, but you never know. That's totally the truth. You can't predict anything. I could go out tomorrow. My car won't start. You know, it's broke. It's no longer working. And you can't guarantee anything along those lines. Even in your own stuff, you can't guarantee uptime and availability and making sure. I mean, you can, there's things you can do to prevent it, but you can't guarantee it.
You're probably more likely to lose your local stuff at your home than you are losing stuff in the cloud.
That's a pretty bold statement.
Don't you think?
I think it depends.
Not the odds of a breach, but the
average guy. The average guy, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the average
of losing everything. Yeah. I mean, I just think of the risk of a fire or a flood taking out a single server in your home compared to, okay, those cloud services, your stuff's backed up everywhere. If one of their data centers went down, you would likely still have your stuff. I think it's probably the odds are greater that you're going to lose that if you only have it stored in your home, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't think a fire or a flood are the highest propensity. I think you accidentally deleting it.
I didn't think about that. That's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or that hard drive going kunk, 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 and you didn't really have a backup, right? Like,
right.
You weren't going to the cloud. Yeah. You weren't in a raid, anything like that.
Yeah. Drashna says, you know, you can, FBI warrants can collect your data. If the FBI wants your data, they're going to get your data, even if it's yours, by the way. they will come to your location. If you're doing things you shouldn't be doing, they will absolutely. I don't think that, whether it's in the cloud or you have it locally, I don't think that guarantees or makes you safe. I think there's a lot of things, you know, as you think through these things, multiple places, good backup, make sure you can get it back. Certainly from the cloud perspective, there's some great services, as we know from CrashPlan and other services. They don't last forever. They renege on their promises. You got to have a backup plan. Right. It's just tough when, you know, especially, you know, it took me a whole month to move that 1.5 terabytes of data that I'd already moved to CrashPlan. I now need to move to Backblaze, right? And so you know what? And I always just say, you got to do what you're comfortable with. Like, there's the right answer is, what are you comfortable with? Mm-hmm. You know, don't impose or don't superimpose your own biases or your own thoughts on somebody else on the way it should be. You got to go with what's best for you. What are you most comfortable with? What do you, you know, what helps you sleep at night? How important is that data to you? So it is one of those decisions you got to kind of make you got to solve yourself and say, how comfortable am I with these services and putting them there, and knowing nothing lasts forever, not even local, you know,
nothing lasts forever. You know, it could be that picture you're putting up there could show up on the front page of the Wall Street Journal, you know, like, there's just, you just gotta be comfortable. Right. And if you're not comfortable with that, just, you know, do the local thing and then go up to a different backup service or whatever you trust. Just go with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's that whole convenience versus privacy thing, right? Like, it's just, if it's super convenient, then you might lose out on.
Yeah. There's such an allure of privacy anymore. I don't, right. Mike, I don't, there's nothing private anymore. And I don't think there's anything truly private.
It's a good point.
You know?
Well, I mean, look at here, let's throw in some news. We haven't talked about any news.
Yeah.
That story, did you hear about the story of the couple who was having a conversation in their home and their Alexa device picked up the conversation and sent it to someone that was in their contacts? Right. Like, and looking back, Amazon says that it was just a perfect storm of the words they were saying and Alexa responding, and them, the next word in their conversation was good enough for Alexa to send that conversation over. Can't even have a conversation in your home anymore. Right. Like, and be guaranteed privacy. You can't be guaranteed if you have those devices in your home.
No, you can't be guaranteed privacy on those things.
And you want privacy, go home, have a conversation, and don't be on the phone, don't be anything, not anymore.
Listen, our phones have been spying on us way longer than Alexa has.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
I think you have to come at it like nothing's private anymore. Like, everybody knows my social security number. Everybody knows my address. Everybody knows my phone number. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows where I live. I kind of, you kind of got to think like the days of having, and I'm not saying it's right or we should accept it, but the days of those of privacy, I think they're pretty long gone for the most part.
We're always being monitored.
No, right on. It's what's funny. I watched the 1984, you know, the other day. I had never seen that, or I hadn't seen it in a long time. And it came up on my Netflix. And so I was watching it. One, it's a super weird movie. But two, this paranoia, you know, this dystopia paranoia of Big Brother watching us, you know, kind of a thought that ran through the, well, I mean, it still runs through today. Maybe it's even worse. But who would have thought we would have, in those scenarios, the government imposed its will on the people and forced them to have these devices, right, to be monitored with. Today, we invite them in our house.
We do. Like, yeah.
And we buy them, and we buy them ourselves, and we podcast about them, and we celebrate them, and, you know?
Yep.
And there they are.
We're the ones bringing them in. We're like, yes, sweet. Monitor device.
Yeah. Yeah. Josh just says the U.S. doesn't care about privacy. It's the attitude. It's gone. It's part of the problem. Yeah. Yeah.
There are other countries who are far, far worse. If you're talking about privacy and monitoring their citizens, than the United States. Mm-hmm. We're not the least monitored, but we're definitely not the most monitored.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know if GDPR really, to be honest, it's a little bit of a big stick for the EU. I'm not sure it's going to actually do anything. So yeah, they're going to try. They are certainly going to try, but it is interesting. I mean, it's just one of those things. Do I like it? I don't know, to be honest with you. It's like, until it affects me in some way, you know, where that lack of privacy screws me, you know, I may be, and I think most Americans, or maybe most people, are a little apathetic to it. It's kind of like, no, I want the convenience of my Echo. I want to be able to turn on my lights,
right,
with my Echo, right? And I'm willing to give up some of that privacy to do it. So it's, I don't know. It is an interesting topic. I can't walk around wearing a tinfoil hat all the time.
Yeah.
You know, it can't be done. There are things that are, you can do some things to prevent, you know, kind of cracked me up when Zuckerberg put the piece of tape over his laptop. And I'm like, seriously, dude, you know how many other cameras are in that room? Like, to get to you, they're not going to hack your laptop. They're going to lack your unsecure video conferencing because you're in an open space. Like, he was sitting in an open space.
Yeah.
Like, do you really think that one camera is going to, and by the way, they have the microphone turned on. And by the way, the data on your laptop is more valuable than the camera. Like, right. Seriously, dude, like, what a, you know, sometimes I think we miss the point of like, what's really important in the security aspect of it. So, super, I don't know how we got down that rabbit hole, but we did.
Yeah. And,
I think we were talking about backup and people getting access to your files and some of those other kinds of things. Mike, when you think, as we get into summer, so you got a riding mower, any other gadgets that you're thinking of, that are on the wish list for, to kind of help you from a summer perspective, help you get through the summer. I know she moved your fridge, but besides that.
I did, yeah. the mower was the number one priority. And then actually, we were talking about this earlier in the chat, a gas edger compared to the electric edger. It'll just go so much faster and I'm not tied to a cord. Besides that, no, I'm always looking to upgrade my cameras for my security system. So already looking, I need one more for a back corner of my house, which means running more wire, which I love, running new Ethernet. I'm going to do that. And I'm also thinking about reworking. I have a 5-port PoE switch up in that attic. And it just worries me that thing's up there and it gets so hot that it's just going to go out or it's going to cause intermittent problems. And that's what my access point is connected to. All my cameras are connected to. So I want to move that down to the basement and I want to run more Ethernet down here and get a new larger PoE switch, but that has nothing to do with the summer. So no, to answer your question.
No, just summer projects. I think that fits in. Cause you know, you mentioned it gets warm here.
It gets real
hot. So what do you have in your attic? You know, what kind of tech have you run through your attic?
Right.
That could be at risk from humidity and heat. I think it's going to be a hot one. Like it's already, you know, it's already getting super hot and it's like, oh, yikes, this is going to be a hot one. So, yeah.
What about you?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. I got some really cool gadgets for my birthday. I think it's going to be a summer of coffee and cigars. Like, yeah. why wouldn't we celebrate? It is certainly going to be a summer of a lot of crypto. We start a crypto competition at work next Friday. The high schoolers arrive on campus Monday, and then we kick off a crypto contest. We found a maybe we'll talk about this more next week when we get here for the podcast, but I think it's called, something, Crypto Spaniard, I think is what it's called.
Website?
Yeah, I think okay. The website's called Crypto Spaniard, I think. And it's just a simulation. So you can buy, you can put a certain amount of dollars in, buy coin, and we're going to actually have a competition to see who can over the next 5 weeks of the summer, who can trade the best. I thought that would be fun. But we're going to, one of the questions we're going to work on is how could Gallup use the blockchain to its advantage?
Oh,
so I'm putting out teams, and they're going to kind of ideate around a little bit for us and kind of give us the answer of like, what do you think? Hey, young technical people, what do you think the blockchain could be used for here at Gallup? How could we use it? And that'll be part of their end of summer presentations. So
it's a perfect project for those interns.
Yeah. It's one of the things they're doing. They're also going to do some A/B testing. I want to figure out how to do and get better standards around our titling for our blog. And how do we do A/B title testing? And then we're going to go through and fix a lot of our titles and update some things that we do at the blog. We also have a very text heavy page on our coach's blog. It's just ugly, and they're going to have to fix it. So it's like, hey, you can do whatever you want, fix it. We got a couple new data sets too, which is really cool. We just released at Gallup. We just released a bunch of new data, Whirlpool data sets that I'm going to have them go out and look at World Bank and CDC and some Google mapping information. And I'm going to say, what would happen if we mashed all this together? What kinds of interesting data could you get out of these data sets if you put them together? What are the commonalities, common keys, common things? Could we get some insight based on these big, large data sets that we have out there? And then we'll have them visualize them. They're going to go through a data visualization process where we're saying, okay, let's throw out pie charts and graphs. Like, what else could we do that would be really, really cool for Lincoln? I've seen a lot of really cool infographics where they've done a lot of cool things with the data that's been non-traditional.
Right.
And so we're going to work on those as well. So
these teams, they're going to have a busy summer.
Yeah. They're only there for 6 weeks. So they got a lot of work to do.
There's some cool projects to work on.
They got a lot of work to do.
I love those open-ended projects, right? Where it's make this better. Like take this, like we're not putting any guardrails around you. Just go and make this better. Those are cool. You really start to see their creativity and how they think. And you guys get a new perspective too, which is cool.
They struggle with it because all, at least here in the United States, school always has very defined teachers often have totally. Very defined.
That's why I love it.
It's like, hey, do this. This is how you're going to do it. Get this done. These are the steps. And we're kind of saying, I've got this page that looks like crap. I don't know how to fix it. You're going to have to make it look better. Right. Be creative, right? It's going to take some code. It's going to take some creativity. It's going to take some ingenuity because it's on Blogger, which is a terrible blogging platform. I mean, Google has not updated Blogger in years. And so the code, the HTML code on it is really kind of funky. And I like it because it makes them, they can't just copy and paste from, they can't just go steal things. They actually have to like test it and make sure it works and then read some documentation and like, and I like that. I like them digging in a little bit. So we've got some things coming up as well. Well, we will say, I think we did it, Mike. I think it was a success. We should do this more often. I don't know how often we'll do it, but watch us, follow us on Twitter @M. Is it, what's your Twitter again?
Uyghur Tech.
Uyghur Tech. I want to say M Uyghur, but that's your Google ID.
That's everything else.
Yeah. Uyghur Tech @JayCollison on Twitter. We'll throw that out from time to time and say, hey, what do you want us to cover? What are the questions you have for us? Pretty fun. We'll be back next week. News, reviews, product updates, and conversation, all for the average tech guy. So we'll be back with that kind of format. But thanks to everybody. We mentioned them, but Tony, Gavin, Kevin, and I get everybody that submitted texts. There was a few more, Ryan. There was a few more that came in late. That we didn't get to. So we'll take a peek at those as well. But thanks for doing that. All right, Mike, we'll stay. If you're listening live, stay around. I noticed a lot of folks drop. We're going to talk a little crypto here at the end. So Ryan said he listens to it. So I'd make it if one person listens to it. And so we'll do a little crypto here at the end. If you're staying around live, we appreciate you guys coming out. Just a couple reminders. If you want to support the show or get the post show for free, it's on our Patreon page. Go out to theaverageguy.tv/Patreon. I mentioned earlier, you can contact us via email, jim@theaverageguy.tv or @JayCollison on Twitter. If you want to join our Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/theaverageguy. Don't forget the Average Guy .tv platform, both web and media hosting, powered by Maple Grove Partners. Speaking of Christian, Christian's back June 11th, I think. We're going to try and record a new Cyber Frontiers, so it's coming up as well. But secure, reliable, high-speed hosting from people that you know and you trust. You know that's Maple Grove Partners, and that's Christian. We appreciate his sponsorship of Home Gadget Geeks, and that thing just keeps running away. That guy's having an amazing run at Amazon, by the way. So you'll want to come out on the 11th, same time, 8 p.m. Central. Catch Home Gadget Geeks or catch Cyber Frontiers Live. Then don't forget, we've got an app for this thing sponsored by LastPass. And if you want to get that home, homegadgetgeeks.com is the way to do it. You can download it absolutely free. We are live every Thursday, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern, out here at theaverageguy.tv. We've got an exciting summer of news, reviews, product updates, and conversation, all for the average tech guy. So you want to come out and join us live as we do this. Stay around for a little crypto and a little post show. And with that, we'll say goodnight, everybody.